Hello, and welcome to Elephate in the Room, Elephate's weekly podcast. I am your host, Derek Caraview, and entering the room today is Michelle Robbins. Michelle, as you will find out, used to do approximately 27,000 jobs for Third Door Media. She is an experienced keynote and featured speaker who enjoys connecting with the community at industry events. She also had a surprising job while she was in college, where we find out that we have one degree of separation. So that was pretty cool. We hear about her involvement, her continued involvement with Women in Technology International. We find out about a celebrity encounter and her preferred Wonder Woman villain. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy Elephate in the Room with Michelle and Derek. Okay, well, let's go ahead and get started. Michelle, why don't you explain to our audience who you are and what you do?
Well, I have been in technology and digital marketing for over 20 years now. Most recently, I was the Senior Vice President of Content and Marketing Technology at Third Door Media. And there I oversaw the content strategy at our six brands and was also the Editor-in-Chief of Search Engine Land, Marketing Land, and MarTech Today. Also responsible for our program content at our SMX, the Search Marketing Expo events. And then also oversaw the technology department. So managing all of our technology
Nothing
initiatives,
else?
Front end and back end.
Do you work? Do you work all three shifts? What's going on? How does one person do all of that? That's a lot.
I was a part-time juggler as well. You know, it was a crazy year. I will say that I was in those roles specifically for a year. Prior to that, I was I led the technology department and worked across the brands and worked across all the divisions with everyone. But then was moved into that role when Danny Sullivan retired from the brand, and it was a lot, but it was a really important transition period for the company. So it was interesting because it was like being in a startup again for me anyway, because of all the juggling. But we did great work. It was a really great experience. I really loved working with the editorial team, more hands on, and being able to guide our editorial was a lot of fun. And it was definitely a lot of work, but I loved it. It was great.
Well, we're going to talk a bit more about that in detail, but before we do, we're going to get to know you just a little bit better, okay?
Okay.
All right. So my first question is, when you go to Baskin-Robbins, do you get a discount?
I do not, but I worked there in high school. I actually worked at Baskin-Robbins in high school until we got robbed, and then my dad made me quit. And yep. That was sad because you love the free ice cream. Yeah.
I bet. What was your go-to flavor?
I really like either the pecan praline or chocolate malted crunch.
Both sound delicious.
Yes.
Okay. So in your dream house, what is the one weird feature you would include? So if price was not an issue and you could just have one thing specific for you, what would it be?
An air hockey table, but one of the air hockey tables that has three puck play. So the game room has to be big enough to accommodate a very large air hockey table.
Wow. Okay. That I have never seen with three. That's.
It's chaotic and it's amazing.
It sounds like it. Which fictional world would you choose to live in?
A Themyscira.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Should I expand on what Themyscira is?
Yeah, that's where Wonder Woman is from.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay. So what is it about? I have a hard time pronouncing that. So what is it about that place that appeals to you?
It is full of amazing, powerful women who manifest their own destiny.
Okay. That sounds like a fun place to be.
It's pretty much that. And who come to the world's rescue when needed. So, you know, there's that. It is important. It is. You got to share the love. Got to share the awesome. Save the world.
Got to do what you got to do.
I'm here for that.
What was your first concert?
Oh, my first concert. My first concert was Ozzy Osbourne with Rat opening.
Nice.
Yeah.
My first concert was Motley Crue with Guns N' Roses opening.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. So we're from the same time. Right on.
Okay. So how was that show? Do you remember?
I remember Rat were not so good. Oh. And Ozzy was pretty great, but it was post Randy Rhoads. Yeah. So, because I was too young to see Randy Rhoads with Ozzy. Mm-hmm. So it was just a tiny bit sad, but it was still great.
So was that Jake Ealy or?
Yeah, it was with Jake Ealy, I think.
Because I didn't see Ozzy until I want to say 92 when Zakk Wylde was in the band. But I did see Jake Ealy's next band, I think Badlands, and they were not good. But anyway.
Turns out he was just a guitar player.
He didn't even sing. It was just not they just weren't very good. But Eric
no, they were
was
not.
The drummer who ended up being the drummer in Kiss for a long time. And he was good.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I never saw Badlands because yeah. Why?
Yeah, we saw him open for Tesla, maybe? I don't remember. So where are we now? What was your most recent concert, Ben?
Oh, gosh. The last concert I went to. I feel like it was either the Foo Fighters or Metallica. I'm honestly not sure. I think Foo Fighters, though. Mm-hmm.
Good show.
Trying to think. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're always great.
If you had to endorse a brand, which brand would it be?
Fluvog. You're like, I'm going to need an explainer on that, maybe. Fluvog are a shoe company. They make the most incredible, amazing, comfortable, interesting, long-lasting quality shoes ever. I've been wearing them for, I don't know, probably over 20 years now. Yeah, definitely over 20 years, close to 30. And they're started out of Canada. I believe John Fluvog is from Canada. And they've now got stores in a variety of places. I think over in Europe, their Amsterdam store might be their first one. But if you ever see me live and in person, 95% likelihood I'm wearing Fluvogs.
All right. Well, that sounds like a great endorsement. All right. Thank you. Now, I know you do a lot of public speaking. What are you doing 30 minutes before a presentation?
Reviewing my deck, probably, if I have access to it, to review it. Probably trying not to be nervous. It's interesting because a lot of people, apparently it never comes across that I'm entirely nervous the whole time. Mm-hmm. But I usually am. Actually, it's not the whole time. I find the first 3 minutes are the toughest, right? If you can get through the first 3 minutes, then the rest is fine. But I always get, I get very nervous before public speaking. Mm. So I'm usually just trying to not be nervous.
And I find there's this weird thing where sometimes like the first few minutes are okay because of that adrenaline pushing you. And it's when that adrenaline dips at about, let's say, 7-8 minutes in, then I've had nervousness hit me there.
Really?
Yeah. And then pull back out of it. But sometimes just that first go, it just has enough to push me. But and then when that wears off.
Yeah, public speaking is really fascinating. Just seeing how different people approach it and whether or not people struggle with it and or if they appear to struggle with it, right? And I find, honestly, that having a slide deck makes it worse for me because I feel like I'm focusing instead of on the content and the topics, which I always know really well to be speaking about. I find I'm like, oh, did I cover whatever that slide is, right?
Okay.
And the more I get away from worrying about the slides, I feel like the better I am speaking about a topic. So I almost wish we had slide-free presentations.
Yeah, it could be nice. What's something about you that people would be surprised to know?
I was a college radio DJ, and I had a rap show in addition to a metal show.
I had a metal radio show in college as well. So, yeah.
Awesome. What station?
I was at the University of Tampa. We had a small carrier current station, but I was the metal director for a year, and I was the station manager my senior year of college.
Yeah. That's amazing. I was also the metal director, program director, and at KUCI. What was the Tampa calls?
At the time, it was WUTZ.
Okay. Yeah, I went on to work in college radio from the label side after college. I worked at Walt Disney's commercial record label, Hollywood Records.
Yeah. I remember Hollywood.
And your station was not one that I called on. I think you might have talked to Kevin Estrada, however.
I did talk to Kevin Estrada.
Oh my gosh, yeah. You remember Kevin? That's amazing.
Vaguely, yeah. There's a few people. Right now, I can't remember a lot of names, but yeah. I have a feeling if somebody said names to me, I'd be like, yep.
Yeah. Kevin and I worked together first when we were interning, and he stayed in the metal department. Then I went on to run the National Alternative Radio Promotion Department there. And he's still one of my best friends. He's great.
Wow. Yeah, that was something I had actually hoped to do after university and just never made that work, unfortunately. So, because I loved that part. I loved being on air because we didn't have to deal with the FCC. So we didn't have quite as many rules, but, you know, so I just got to play a lot of different things. But I also love the behind the scenes stuff and the CMJ and the reporting and all that.
Yeah. Used to always go to CMJ, New Music Seminar. It's a lot of fun.
And what were some of the bands that Hollywood was pushing at the time when you were working there?
When I was still in the metal department, it was Sacred Reich. You might be familiar with Sacred Reich. Gosh, what are the other one? I'm drawing a blank. I actually also interned at Metal Blade when I was in college. That was obviously a lot more metal bands. When I did alternative radio promotion at Disney, it was the Dead Milkmen and Brian Setzer Orchestra. It's a bunch of other smaller bands that no one would remember. But on the metal side, they had the Scream as well. Yeah. That was one of the bands. But it was a lot of fun. I really liked it, but I was very happy.
Scream, mm-hmm. Is that did the singer sing for Motley Crue later?
He did. Yes. Yep. Okay. That guy. Yeah. And that was a lot of fun. I did that. That was, in fact, just before getting into tech. That's what I was doing. So my marketing background comes heavily from the marketing that we did at the label.
Oh, that's great. So. Nice when you can learn a skill set in one place and apply it in another place. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Different eyes. So, so now, if you weren't doing what you're doing, what would you be doing?
I would be working with kids in low-income areas. In fact, I mentor a student in downtown LA through a nonprofit program called A Place Called Home. And I work specifically with the girls in that program, and I love that work. that's what I would be doing.
Yeah. That's actually, I was going to ask you a little bit more about that in the third section, but
We're here.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Usually I start more with professional stuff and then go on to the other, but while we're here, so how did you get involved with the mentor?
So. Well, over the years, a while ago, gosh, it was around the time my first son was born, and I just wanted to do something part-time. I worked with the Orange County Department of Education. They had a Title I program that enabled people to tutor kids one-on-one, kids that lived in group homes. And so I would, in the afternoons after school, would go to the group home of young girls in junior high, high school age, and then boys in elementary school, and would one-on-one tutor the kids that lived in the group homes. And that was probably the most rewarding work I've ever done, because you can really make a difference in someone's life. And that was incredible to do. And so I was very happy I was able to do that when my son was little. And it was when I was building and developing at the same time my web development company and consulting agency. So those two things were happening in tandem. And then once I obviously was, you know, in a different position, different role, and had some time, my, you know, kids were older, I wanted to find another way to be involved. And friends of mine in the industry, his wife is on the board of a place called Home, and they were having, they have an annual fundraising kind of luncheon thing. And so she invited me to the luncheon, and I got to learn about the organization and what they do, and was struck by the one program they have that's called their Life Mentor Program, where they essentially partner you with one student in the program, and then you're that student's mentor for, you know, you commit to at least 1 year, but ideally you follow that child throughout their high school career, because these were high school girls. Mm-hmm. And the opportunity to just to, you know, spend time with them, you know, expose them to things they may not otherwise be exposed to, help them out wherever they might need help, support them in their, you know, educational goals, as well as just, you know, life, you know, getting along in life, and kind of keeping them on a path to getting into college and pursuing college and careers, because a lot of these kids don't necessarily have that. Mm-hmm. So I've been working with this same student for the past couple of years, and she's fantastic. And it's just, I think it's important. I think especially for young women, you know, the you can't be what you can't see is a real thing, and representation and everything. And so especially as a woman in tech, and while the field of women in tech is changing, I'm still a bit of a unicorn. I realize when I talk to people and tell them what I do, I'll know we've met parity when people stop being shocked. Right. And so I think it's really important. I think it's important to do. It's rewarding. So I think anyone that can should.
Yeah, no, that sounds fantastic. If you could actually, if you want, maybe send me some information. We'll include it in the, like a link or something with the podcast.
Oh, perfect.
And I also wanted to talk a little bit about this WITI. I don't know if you say WITI or if you say.
Yeah. Women in Technology International.
Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
So that's an organization that has been around for a very long time. When I first started in technology and wanted to get involved more with groups, you know, that I could become more involved with, that supported women, especially in technology, they were pretty much the organization that they were the only one at the time. Because, I mean, again, we're talking, you know, more than 20 years ago. Now, of course, there's a really healthy ecosystem of groups focused on helping women in technology achieve, and, you know, all the girls who code and women who code. And, you know, there are so many more programs now around supporting and encouraging women to continue in technology. But at that time, that was literally the only one I could find. And so I joined it, and they have every year they have their annual meeting conference. And then they also have local groups throughout the nation. And I think, I mean, they are international, but I've only participated in the Orange County and LA groups, and was also a speaker and moderator once at the annual conference. But that's basically, it's, think of it like, I'm trying to think of something analogous in our industry to what WITI is. They have forums, they do webcasts. I also did a webcast once for the membership. It is a member organization. And they have just a lot of, you know, monthly, sometimes bi-monthly meetups to discuss topics in technology, and are specifically geared towards helping women in technology network, grow their network, and grow their, I am missing the word, grow their skills and career. That's it, career.
All right. Well, that sounds great that you've been able to find something at the beginning like that, that you're able to keep on working with. So,
yeah, it was great. It was really, I'd say it was really helpful, especially because, you know, I only knew men in technology at the time. I didn't know any women in technology. And so it was really great to find an organization and go to meetups and realize, oh, I'm not the only one. And the field is this large. And there are so many different aspects to what women are doing in the technology. And I'm not sure if in the absence of that, I don't know. You know, you can't separate those variables. So I couldn't say, would I still be in technology if I had never found that group? I probably would, but, you know, it was great to have.
Sure. Yeah. So they said it may have been, but it would have been a harder row to.
It's likely.
So, yeah. Okay. So now we're going to move on to our second round, which is a nice little game called Have You Ever?
Are you ready? I feel like I should have a shot glass, but okay.
It's a family show, but you can.
Okay.
That's fine. All right. Have you ever broken something at a friend's house and then not told them?
Oh, I don't think so. No, nothing comes to mind. I've definitely broken things at friends' houses, but you know, I'm the first to go, hey, I broke this. Sorry.
Okay. All right. So I'm sure your friends listening in will appreciate that. have you ever tried to cut your own hair?
Yes. Yes. To ill effect. I learned there are many things better left to professionals, and cutting your hair is one of them.
Okay. So now is this, you tried to cut your hair maybe as a small child, or is this something that happened, maybe a little later on in life?
Oh, no. Yeah, this was college. you know, there's a time and a place for everything, mm-hmm. and it's college.
Exactly. I love that. So was this before something big? Like you tried to cut your hair. Did this result in a minor disaster, or was it just, you know, a bad haircut for a little while?
Oh, it wasn't tragic. I had mm-hmm. a lot of hair, so losing some of it wasn't a tragedy. It was just a very bad haircut until I could get to see my guy, who then fixed it for me.
Uh-huh. All right. Have you ever read an entire novel in one day?
Oh, yes. Now you're going to want to know which one it was. And I'm going to try very hard to remember. And I'm blanking. We're going to have to get
That's
back
fine.
To that.
Have you ever lied about a family member dying as an excuse to get out of doing something?
No. Who are the people you have on your podcast? I'm going to go back and listen. Or I don't know if you ask the same questions every time, but now I'm definitely listening to all the podcasts.
Definitely. Have you ever taken part in a talent show?
Yes.
Okay. What did you do? What was your talent on display?
Singing and dancing. And not like a professional talent show, but like a talent show at a school. Yeah. 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 I did a lot of performance growing up.
Okay. Have you ever ruined somebody else's vacation?
Probably. Actually very recently, but I didn't ruin it. I was just not able to attend, and I thought I would be. And they were very unhappy about that. But I didn't ruin it, like, you know, there was an arrest involved and chairs were broken, lamps all over the place, nothing like
that.
Waking
up in another, nothing like that.
Nothing like that.
That's disappointing, but whatever. That's fine.
I'm starting to feel like in your research, you came upon these whole other Michelle Robbinses. And you're like, wow, she's done this? That's interesting. Can I ask her about that?
just trying to dig to the bottom. That's all.
No, I appreciate that. And I'm going to need you to repeat your last question.
No problem. Have you ever hurt yourself walking and texting?
No. But I have very much injured myself walking the dog.
Is that because the dog tends to walk you, or what happened there?
The dog took off after something in the opposite direction that we were walking, essentially. And I got wrapped up in the, in his thing, and fell and skinned, and clothes were torn. Must have been fun to see. If anyone saw it, that would have been pretty hilarious.
And what kind of dog do you have?
I have an Australian Shepherd Terrier mix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's yeah, okay. Sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah. Chases after anything.
Yeah. And our final one, have you ever had a celebrity encounter?
Yes, many.
Yeah. Okay. So I had this one before I knew you worked at Hollywood Records. So what was your most, and you live in LA, right? So,
right.
So what was your most recent or your best celebrity encounter story?
Oh, my best celebrity encounter story. I'm going to have to think about that. I think my best celebrity encounter story wasn't actually a celebrity. I mean, he is very well known on the world stage, but not a celebrity per se. I was, was it during high school? I feel like it was during high school. My sister and I went up to San Francisco to meet some friends, and I had some friends that lived in Santa Rosa. So I actually flew home out of the Santa Rosa airport, which at the time was this just tiny little bus stop that planes flew out of, right? And I was sitting there in the bus stop waiting for my plane, and all of a sudden out of a phone booth, because there were phone booths back then, this is how old we are. Out of the phone booth walks Henry Kissinger. And I was just like, looked at him like, huh, you're Henry Kissinger. He said, good afternoon. And walked away. And I'm like, why is Henry Kissinger at this bus stop? It was the strangest thing. But apparently there's some, I don't know, top secret handshake kind of meeting thing that happens in that general area, or happened in that general area recently. And so those kind of people were there for that event. Mm-hmm. So that to me was my strangest encounter.
Sure.
But my most recent would be probably the members of the Star Trek franchise. A lot of, I was recently being January-ish, I guess, on a Star Trek cruise, in fact. So I got to spend a lot of time because I know people that work with them, with the celebrity talents, and they're all really fun, nice people. So,
and you also went to...
Oh, and I saw them recently in Vegas, in fact, yeah.
Okay, and I know you go to the Comic-Con quite regularly.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I've been going to Comic-Con for, I think, about 18 years now. I think this year was my 18th Comic-Con, yeah. So that actually was probably even more recent of seeing the people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it all blurs.
Yeah, I'm sure. I went to one or two of the similar thing in Orlando, but it's been a long time. So, all right. So we're now going to talk a little bit more about your day job. So what are you currently doing?
I took the summer off. I wanted to take some time and have some downtime, and obviously spend the summer with my kids and stuff. And that was a lot of fun. And so I have recently begun, and it actually gave me the time to consider, what do I want to do next? Because, you know, once I resigned, I heard from a lot of people with offers to do essentially what I had just been doing, but I didn't want to jump into the next thing. And I really did want to take some time off and think about, you know, what are my longer term goals? And I didn't want to keep doing the same thing I had been doing. I felt like it was a good time to make a break and, you know, consider shifting into something related, but different, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And, something I had done a couple of years ago, I took a certificate program out of MIT in big data and social analytics. And at that time, actually, when I took that program, I decided that this is what I want to do. Data science is what I want to do next. And I had intended to, start looking into master's programs, specifically to get a master's in data science. And about 2 months after I concluded that program was when we learned that Danny was going to be retiring from Third Door you know, middle of that next year. And so that's when they began talking to me about, you know, reorganizing the company and changes and, you know, putting me in a different role. And I wanted to do that because I thought, well, that's different and I'll do that and, you know, stay through the transition, commit to a year. But really data science is what I want to do next. And so I've decided that whatever role I take, and I'm looking at a variety of different roles, I want it to be more data focused versus development focused, which is what I had been doing for so long. You know, developing, you know, front end, back end technology, things like that, as well as content. I still love working with content and working with all of the, you know, working with technology, working with content, all of those things. But we didn't have really large data sets at Third Door Media, right? We were very verticalized, a very specific audience. So there wasn't a lot of opportunity to do interesting and unique things with that data set. So I want to work within a larger organization. I'm definitely looking at larger companies and larger organizations that have access to more interesting and novel data that can then lead to perhaps products, right? Product innovation based on the data. Looking at doing that, essentially, while also looking at different data science programs, because I intend to start a master's program probably either in May or in September.
All right. So I obviously wish you the best of luck with all that and finding the next thing to do that obviously doesn't involve you having, you know, 37 jobs.
You know, I'm looking just for one. I'm kind of wanting to focus on just one thing now.
Crazy.
And I expect to have an announcement pretty soon. Pretty exciting stuff happening.
Oh, very cool. Okay. So then let's move on to our third and final round, which is the Elephate lightning round.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready?
I hope so.
So you're going to have two choices. You can pick one or the other, and then we'll go on. If you'd like to explain a little bit, you may, but if not, we'll just go right to the next one.
Okay.
Okay. So first question, which has the worst design, parking signs in LA or the BIC for her?
I've never seen BIC for her. So I'll say parking signs in LA, definitely parking signs in LA.
All right then. Now I heard a rumor that you were wearing white pants after Labor Day. So I have to know, which is the worst fashion faux pas, double denim or socks and sandals?
Ooh, I'm going to go socks and sandals.
Excellent. Okay. The Jam or the Style Council?
The Jam.
Voyager or Deep Space Nine?
Deep Space Nine.
Michelle Pfeiffer or Michelle Williams?
Michelle Williams.
Tim Robbins or Tom Robbins?
I don't know. Who's Tom Robbins? Tim Robbins.
Tom Robbins was he's an author. So he wrote Skinny Legs and All, and even Cowgirls Get the Blues.
Oh, not familiar.
Yeah. Okay. Who's the better villain, Cheetah or Giganta?
Ooh, Cheetah.
Chili cheese dog from Pink's or the Dodger dog?
Chili cheese dog from Pink's.
Born to Run or Nebraska?
Born to Run.
Okay. Now, for UCI alum, Michael Chabon or Alice Siebold?
Ooh. I'm going to say Michael Chabon because he is involved in the upcoming some new Star Trek stuff that's happening that's really cool.
Okay. And our final question, after a rousing rendition of Rhinestone Cowboy, do you listen to Southern Nights or do you switch it up and go to Thank God I'm a Country Boy?
I go with Southern Nights.
Sticking with Glenn. Okay. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
All right. So do you have any final thoughts, anything that you would like to promote? Want to make a big announcement on my show? You may do so.
I don't have a big announcement just yet. I thought I might, but it's a couple weeks out still. So.
Okay.
But no, it's been a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you very much. So if you have anything you would like to say to the listeners, you may do so.
I would just say that the Elephate crew is just chock full of really smart, lovely people. And I'm happy you guys are doing this podcast and exposing other people to the industry and for your brand, because big fan of your brand.
Oh, well, great. Thank you very much. That's nice to hear. Okay, Michelle Robbins, really thank you for taking the time to sit and talk with me today. I appreciate it. It's always fun to learn from some new people and talk to some old metal directors as well.
It's been a lot of fun, Derek. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to Elephate in the Room, hosted by Derek Carreview, produced by Christian A. Dumais, music by Giant Monsters on the Horizon. This podcast is a part of Elephate, the 2018 European Search Awards winner for Best Small SEO Agency. Follow Elephate on Twitter at ElephateSEO and on Facebook at Elephate. Thanks for joining us, and see you next time.